Mike and Chester, welcome to London.
Hi,
thank you very much.
How are you both?
Very, very good. A little tired.
Fantastic. Yes. You know, I'm having a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying this whole trip, and I've been enjoying talking about this record and everything. But I'm still trying to figure out why talking about stuff is exhausting. I don't understand, like, why sitting in a place talking about something that you love is, like, I think I'd be more energized or, like, less tired after, like, hiking up a mountain.
Well, you've got more energy after a show than you do after
maybe it's
a
because
I'm not adrenaline.
It's a day of interviews.
It's got to be, yeah, for me, adrenaline. It must be, because I actually enjoy all of it. But the thing is, like, I find myself just getting, like, more tired and tired and tired. And then I'm like, why am I so tired? Like, I've just been sitting here. Like,
oh, and by the
maybe
way,
that's the thing.
And by the way, don't mistake it for, like, complaining. Like, we're not complaining. It's just, it's weird because, like, we find ourselves saying and doing, like, dumb stuff and, like, trying to think of words. Like the name of the Kiss album cover.
Yeah.
Like, the reason he can't, it's just like you're sitting there going, like, my brain is malfunctioning. Like,
I tell you why, though. It's because you're talking about something you love. It's like parents that talk about their kids all the time.
Oh, well, yeah, I do that, too.
It's similar
yeah,
to that.
And it's exhausting.
It's exhausting, exactly. See? You nailed it. That's why.
Listen to it. It's exhausting.
But you know, you love it. It's your new album. It's yep. your new release. Yep. And you know, how excited are you about it?
Well, so we you know, this is our seventh studio album. And for fans who know the band, they kind of know to expect that things are going to be... there's going to be surprises. There's always surprises. Ever since our third album, their first two albums were very similar, and then the third album was wildly different. And then the next album was wildly different. And it's been on and on since. And so people have been with us for a while know to expect that. Newer fans, it's different. Like, they're like, wait, what the hell? Like, your last album was really
heavy. I think even some of our diehards are still, they still kind of, like, they know, but they still act surprised when it happens. You know,
yeah.
I don't
think they act surprised. I think they go like, well, I had all of these, like, guesses at what it could be, like, what the surprise could be, what's going to be the thing that takes me off guard. And then this time it's like, well, didn't see that coming. Didn't see that.
Do you think it's your bravest record? I mean, in terms of, you talk about the diehards,
yes,
which I think
is definitely our bravest, and most accomplished. I mean, very accomplished at this point.
I wouldn't. You know? Yeah, I don't know about it accomplished.
Super brave, though.
But
very
absolutely, brave. Took the biggest set of balls.
Was there a point when, you know, did you have a conversation where, you know, someone might have said, "I know, let's go in this direction. Are you happy with this? Is it something you're cool to do?" Did that sort of...
Well, you got to understand, like, the process of making it, maybe, to understand, that just doesn't... I mean, here's the way it works. So we... the song started each day with the concept of the song. So we walked in and said, what do you want to write about every day? It was, what do you want to sing about? What do you want to write about today? And that's backwards for us. Like, normally it starts with the music. For on all of our other albums, it started with the music first, and then the song inspired the lyrics. And the reason, I'm going to try and think of a different example, since I've been using the same example for this thing, but for you, I'm going to give you an exclusive of a different
example.
All right.
So we have a song. We have a song called Sorry For Now. So Sorry For Now is a song that I woke up one day, and you know how, like, if you got kids, you know, like, you leave for 90 minutes to go to dinner, and they're like, don't leave. You're like, I'm literally leaving for 90 minutes. If you're leaving on a trip for work, if I'm leaving on a tour or something, like, explaining to them, like, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going to be gone. But I'm kind of like, kind of not sorry. Because it's like, I get to do something amazing, and you're too little to understand the perspective, right?
Yeah.
So I want to write a song where the idea of the song, it's a little bit, you know, it's a little sarcastic, but it's loving too, and it's I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. And so I come into the studio.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. So I come into the studio.
That's a Watsky
and if
thing.
I came into the studio and a raging thrash metal song was going on, I'd be like, oh cool, we're writing about, you know, we're gonna write this really nasty raging metal song. And that's what I would completely change direction, and I would write the other thing, and I would probably forget the song about Sorry Not Sorry. But that's not what happened. What we were doing is we walk in every day and say, whatever's on our mind, that's what we're going to write about. Because the track didn't exist yet. It was just the first thing in every song was, what do you want to write about? And so all of those ideas got made in the moment in which we were inspired to make them.
And there definitely was a moment, like, there was a time where we, after we had, you know, a bunch of songs that we had, you know, we had like 40 songs or so, or more, that had like lyrics and like arrangement and melodies to all of them, which is a very big number for us. Like, normally it's like we get to a point, like we write a bunch of demos, we have, you know, out of those demos we work on, you know, 30 of them. Out of the 30, we, you know, advance them even further from just having melodies to like having lyrics. Next thing you know, we've got 20 songs or, you know, whatever, and we choose out of the 20, 24 songs which is gonna be on a record. This time we had like 40 songs or more with like lyrics and like melodies, because we had gone through this process. And there was a, you know, we knew which songs we were like leaning towards, and our whole thing was like, okay, like we've got a bunch of material, like we just want to put our best foot forward, like no matter what the song is. Like, it could be the craziest heavy thing, or it could be the most hip-hop thing, or the poppiest thing. It doesn't matter, if it's the, as long as it's the best song, let's like put our best foot forward on every track, you know, let's not hold anything back. And so we were like, okay, cool. And like, as we were going through the process, we, you know, we did have a conversation. We're like, okay, here's the shape the record's taking. Like, we know we love these songs, and like, there's, we've got an album's worth of these songs, and like, we love them, and they're different for a lot. They're going to be kind of, you know, we know they're going to be down a route that, you know, a lot of our like hardcore, like rock fans,
yep,
are going to be kind of like, somewhere, put off by it, maybe, you know, and I think, and I'm not going to speak, this is not an opinion of the entire band. I think my response was, cool, f*** them, we don't want them as fans anyways.
Now, I'll just counterbalance
like,
that.
Like, hey, Chester, yeah, like, no, like, come on, dude. And you, I was know like, how I was he like, is no, seriously, like, by now, if people don't f***ing know that work, that we can throw a curveball, then f*** them. Like, if they think, like, if you're a guy who, like, only likes War.
Our song.
The song War off of The Hunting Party, and, like, that's your favorite Linkin Park track, and that's what you want, you got that one song. Like, it's the only song we've ever written like it. It's, that's it. Like, I don't know if we'll ever write another one. You know what I mean? Like, it was in the moment. It was, like, the right thing at the right time in the right moment. Now, is that where we're gonna live forever? Sorry, dude. Like, you know what I mean. And if you're gonna hate, on us for it, then fuck you. I don't care. And, but at the same time, like, I say that confidently because I really feel like the majority of our fans, even when they get kind of like, whoa, like, what the fuck is that that I just put in my mouth? Like, I wasn't expecting that. You know, like, I got chocolate cake and it looks like strawberry cake or something.
I picked
it's
up
weird.
This,
you know?
I picked up this Starbucks cup and I thought it was gonna be tea, and it was coffee. And that, you know that feeling when you like, oh, I thought I was going to grab my
drink. Was it
a
pleasant surprise or not?
Well, okay, so the point is, for some people, when they come into it with an expectation that they're going to get one thing and they don't get that thing, they go, oh, man, what the hell?
But right? I think the clues were there, though, from the previous
but
records.
But the thing is, on this...
You are correct, sir.
So I just put a playlist together. I just put it out there on Spotify and Apple, that I feel are like some stepping stones in our catalog to get to this record. And the fans haven't heard this record yet, so they can hear those and go, oh, I see what you're, you know, it's Breaking the Habit and Waiting for the End and Leave Out All the Rest. And even Numb Encore especially, like there are a lot of different things that we've done that go, you go, okay, I see where you're going with that. And War and Guilty All the Same, and that stuff is not on this particular playlist. But like, you know, we've all, and I think I've had feelings like what Chester just described, where I'm like, you know, if this person, not that person that he just described, for me it's like somebody who's like trying to work out in their head like the band is doing making these decisions for like marketing reasons or monetary reasons or whatever. And if that's your thing, like, if that's your thing, then yes, take a hike. Like, I don't, that's not how I operate.
You see, that I think will primarily be probably the bit of rock snobbery that comes in, because rock can be quite a snobbish genre.
Totally. So I can speak.
You're up against that.
So I can speak to that. So yeah. Because I'm a, so this is my case. If you want me to, you want to debate that, here's the case I make to whoever the fan is that is saying, here's my favorite one. This is a version of it. The version is, this is a safe album or this is an easy album to make because it's not, I read one rock fan go like, it's not creative or it's not difficult to make. There's no musicianship or whatever, right? So, or
that
whatever.
Guy can suck my dick.
Okay, that, here's the problem with that. Here's the problem. If we're going to debate
that won't
it,
be that
and
difficult.
I realize I'm like, it's a one-sided debate, but my perspective is falling. If you're in a deep into a genre, right, and you understand the difference between prog metal and black metal and and screamo and emo and whatever, like you know what all those things are, and I play you a hip hop song, and I play you Kendrick Lamar, and I play you Drake, and I play you Chance the Rapper, you're gonna go like, what's the big difference? They all sound the same. It's all what? It's rap, right? Because you don't understand the differences between the subgenres and the subtlety in the genres. And actually, believe it or not, metal fans, there's the same difference in pop, and there's the same difference in every genre. So a pop fan listening to your metal can't tell the difference between Tool and Meshuggah and Gojira and Metallica. They just hear it, and they think it all sounds the same. Whoa. Mind-blowing, right?
It is.
So that's the problem, and when they hear some of this stuff, they go, oh, it's pop. And I go like, take it easy. There's a huge difference between Daft Punk and Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift.
But there's also a huge difference.
The Weeknd.
The thing that I think that I'm picking up on this conversation, though, is like the only part of that bothers me, because like I don't care. Like either you like the song or you don't.
Right.
Exactly.
And if you don't like the song because you hear it on a knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, it doesn't have metal in it, so I don't like it. That's fine. Like, whatever. But if you're gonna be the person that says, like, they made a marketing decision to make this kind of record to make money, you can f***ing meet me outside and I'll punch you in your f***ing mouth. Because that is the wrong
that's
answer.
That's the thing. It is.
No, really,
because,
it's a cop-out.
Because guess what?
It's a cop-out.
Because calling us a sellout for that purpose is the f***ing, is selling out on your f***ing excuse as to why you don't like it. You're a f***ing pussy. And for real, like, you know, for a band like Linkin Park, for any band to take musical risks because you like what you're doing, in spite of what you know some people will say they don't like, it doesn't matter if they like it or not. What matters is, like, you took the chance to do something that you felt was important to you, and that's what being an artist is all about. When we did Minutes to Midnight, like this was a conversation we literally had. This could end our career. And it was like, you know what? Like, and when we all like had that real honest to goodness conversation, like, look, I know we're doing this because this is what we love, and like we really, really, this is important to us. Like, this could honestly be like the worst decision we've ever made professionally. Creatively, probably the best thing. Professionally might be the worst. When we were like, you know what, we're good with that. Like, we can live with that. I would not be able to live with the opposite.
The irony is that's more punk rock than the other thing.
It is. I agree. And for the record, I really like the album, and I like Slipknot, I like Pantera, I like Metallica, I like her early stuff, I like all of it. And I really like this album as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You haven't got to meet me outside.
Okay, I'm not going to beat
you up. I think
you
only said that because you were threatened just now.
I think he's been working out.
He has been a little bit.
As well, so.
Yeah.
That's right, dude. I could definitely intimidate you.
I didn't smell the fear.
No, can you smell it now?
I could smell some fear.
Smell the fear now.
But it might be me. I'm a little too close to it to know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, it's like being at a basketball game or, like, a sports game where, like, you're in a, like, when you're, I'll use basketball, for example, because it's the one sport where you can get right next to like the actual players. Like, you could literally be sitting in the chair right behind the opposing team and be like, dude, you are ugly, bro. Like, oh my God. Like, they let you out in public with that face. Like, dude, seriously? And you suck at playing basketball. Like, you seriously like suck. And you could say this to somebody and then like literally like it, because it's safe. Like, you know that there's nothing that can happen. But that same guy, if they saw that dude on the street, like, yo, can I get your picture? Can you sign my thing? And it's like, so it's, I understand. And there's a little bit of enjoyment that I actually get out of like, kind of like pushing the buttons a little bit. But yeah, you know, there's, it doesn't mean that I'm going to that I have to like agree with whatever version of what you think I should be doing. You know, because like, look, you don't have to like our music, but I would like for you to like the music. But when you make it personal, like a personal attack against like who
it's
we are
too
as people,
easy. It's lazy like, as well, you know, like, people just jump on the bandwagon like,
that
as
opens
well,
the
don't
door.
They?
Yeah,
the
that means that I can actually have feelings about it. And most of the time my feelings are, I want to kill you.
Okay. I'll mention again, I really like the album. I'm into it. When I first heard Heavy, I thought this is, because when I first heard it, I wasn't told who it was. I sort of listened to it. I was like, I really like this, I really like it. And I recognize that voice. This is the new Linkin Park. I'm into it. This is cool. This is good. I'm looking forward to the rest of it. And I saw the video as well, which I was really taken by.
I wish we could have gotten the video out. Like,
a very powerful thing.
I wanted that video out day and date with the song, and it wasn't there. Like it didn't come together fast enough. But if you haven't seen the video, if anybody listening hasn't seen the video, like go see the video, because it's like,
Chester literally fights himself.
Yeah, he does. He's like really like emotionally invested in the song. Like he's acting out
you
the role.
See that.
But it's like his chest. I feel like I'm watching Chester's life in a way.
That's
like,
me.
It's really
that's what
you.
Happens. Yeah. That is what's great is like it was an opportunity for me to really dive into one. I enjoy kind of like letting people. I'm at a point in my life where unlike the 23-year-old Chester who was totally insecure and was like would not be comfortable with like people knowing what the naughty things that go on in my life or like the weird feelings I have, like I'm at the point where I'm just like, yeah dude, I think f***ed up shit, you want to talk about it? Like I bet you do too. Like,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
totally fine with it, you know.
Intrusive
I mean?
Thoughts are what they're called.
Yeah, and
I have them all the time.
Yeah, I mean dude, like it's there's this is a bad place to hang out for me. Like probably a fun place for other people to hang out, but for me the space in between my ears is not a safe place for me to be alone. And so I find that the more people I invite in to that world, the more calm and safe it becomes.
Yeah.
Like the flowers start to grow, you know what I mean? And and this song is a song about what it's like for me to be in that place by myself. And the video was a really good opportunity for me to show that and to be like, you know what, like what's kind of funny is my original treatment for the video was more like comical. It was like actually like my idea was a puppet brain, like me in the room, like all like kind of like in that like that introspective like thinking. But my brain is like in the apartment, like just trashing. Like just like pissing in the corner, like ripping pillows apart, and just like a little puppet brain just like going crazy. And so I take it to this like meeting, right? And there's other people in there with their brains, and their brains are like all different. And you know,
man,
we have our little session.
Well.
We have our own little session.
Like a Michelle Gondry.
Yeah.
And
version.
Then at the end, like during the session, like our brains start to like kind of start to calm down, and we all like are you know looking at the chalkboard and like. The instructor's like pointing at the brain and like pointing at the thing, and we're like, oh yeah, like that makes sense. And at the end of it, our brains are all playing together in the room, and like the people that are representing the brains are like shaking hands and hugging and saying, I'll see you next time. And as we leave, you know, we all leave with our brains, and as we leave, like one person in the group, like their brain starts to act up again. And I was like, and we're like, oh, that's really funny. And then it kind of evolved in from like that to like, okay, let's present it to the directors and pick a guy. And then we found Tim, who's fantastic, and he's like, you know, I love that treatment, but I really, my brain kind of says like, wouldn't it be cool like to like take it to like a fight club like place where like you're literally fighting yourself? And I was like, I like it, you know. And so we went.
And you
went
got to drive a nice
route.
Mercedes.
And I got to drive a Mercedes, the dopest one too.
Was that your car? I was hoping.
I hope they give me one. Yeah, that'd be cool. Like, I'd love to drive a Mercedes.
The car as well.
I would love to drive one. Can you make sure you get that piece just to Mercedes? No, yeah, but it was really fun. Like, it was a fun video to make. It was intense. I mean, I remember people like talking about it, like as I was doing the fight scenes, and they're like, "This is kind of too real," you know. But one of the funny little side notes was when I'm in that scene, like screaming at myself and like throwing stuff. My body double's over there, and I'm like yelling things like, "You're adorable! You're a really nice person! I love working with you! you know, like, you're gonna be a big actor one day.
What?
And like, he was,
you
like,
you can see we have outtakes of it on and if he's, you look like, up Linkin Park TV.
I'm going and to. When he's yelling at me and I'm sitting there and like, you see like my body double throwing, he's like, you're an inspirational musician. Like, I love that song in Transformers. I'm like, I know, Transformers are awesome. Bumblebee is so cool. You know, like, so everyone's like laughing hysterically. And like, but on film, it looks really fun.
Oh, man. Because
we were like doing like, I was, you know, really doing like a F you and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, this is kind of feeling, one, it's working, but like, I'm going to have to do this like over and over again. And I want to enjoy the process. So I just started yelling like funny things, and then that just took it to a whole new level.
I'm going to look at the outtakes. Well, listen, the video's a triumph, as is the record. I've listened to it a couple of times. I've really enjoyed it. So, you know,
thank you.
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
It's really good. I think we've got to wrap it up, but just quickly, I believe you just announced some tour dates as well.
Yeah,
over here.
We did. Let me actually.
We're playing July 3rd.
July 3rd
at the O2.
Birmingham.
In Birmingham, yeah.
Which is where I live.
Sweet.
Can I come along?
Yeah.
Do you know someone that can get me in?
Yes.
You're
in Birmingham on the
6th. You got tickets, buddy. Yeah.
Boom. July 6th. And then July 7th at Manchester Arena.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, listen, again, thank you so much for your time. And congratulations.
Thank you very much.
No worries.